We watched that very moving video from Compassion. What a contrast. The filthy mess that those kids were scavenging and those people were scavenging through on the tips. And yet the joy and the freedom and jubilation that there seemed to be with those kids dancing and singing and learning, and how their lives have been changed by people giving and making a difference to them. And our story today is the story of Ruth and Boaz. And we see Ruth as somebody who's lifted from a place of poverty to a place of blessing in our story. Now, the reading that we had earlier on detailed how Ruth went about gleaning. So why was she gleaning? Why had she got to this desperate point of having to go and glean in the fields? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you a bit about that story, and I want you to listen because I'm going to just check that you understand, because it's a bit complicated how this works, so you're going to have to listen, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions in a minute to make sure you've been listening. So here's the story. Now, Naomi was married to a chap called Elimelech, and they lived in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is an area called Judah, fairly close to Jerusalem. And they had two sons called Mahlon and Chilion. Now, there was a bit of a problem in that there was a famine, and so they decided to move to a land called Moab, which is to the east. So they went to Moab, where there was plenty of food. But unfortunately, Elimelech died. And the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they married some local girls, some Moabite girls. One of them was called Ruth, and the other one was called Orpah. Now, I'd just like to check that you were listening, so you understood where we got to with this. So, Elimelech was married to who? Correct. And what were the names of their sons? Mahlon and Chilion, I think was the other name I had. And who did they marry? And where did they marry them? Right, and the girls were? Moabites, that's right. But I'm afraid that's not where things end. You know, they got a bit worse, because further tragedy, both of the sons died. Now, that was quite a desperate situation in those times, because to be a widow meant that you had no one to provide, as Mark said earlier. There was no provider for them. It was quite a desperate situation. But Naomi had some good news. Along with her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, the good news was that there was food back in Judah. So she decided to take her two daughters-in-law with her back to Judah. And she started out on the road, started walking down the road. She said, hold it. Hang on. No, this is not right. You two girls are Moabites. I shouldn't be taking you with me. You should go back. Find a Moabite man you can marry who can provide for you. Well, they both said no. But then, after a bit of persuasion, Orpah said, well, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm going to go back. But Ruth didn't. No. She dug her heels in, good and proper. She said, no, I'm not going back. And she declared her love and loyalty for Naomi. And I'm going to read this verse to you from chapter 1. And it says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. And so they carried on their journey to Bethlehem. And they arrived around the time of the barley harvest. Now, from what I'm led to believe, they had two harvests. The barley harvest was a bit before the wheat harvest. So they arrived at the earlier harvest, the barley harvest. And their arrival was the talk of the town, because Naomi arrived back without Elimelech and with this Moabite girl. And everybody was, if you see Naomi, she's come back. She's not put her husband back with her, but she's got a Moabite girl. Have you heard about it? Everyone was talking about it. And that's where we get to the point where we had the reading from, where Ruth went out into the field to glean, because when they arrived probably with no food and they needed to eat. Now, as Mark said, it's gleaning is a sort of form of welfare, benefits that were there for the people at the time, because they didn't have a welfare system like we do. And the gleaning and the rules that there were about leaving the margins around the edge of the field for the poor and for the traveller to collect their food from was part of a provision that was set up. There was also, for those who were farmers and had vineyards, they were instructed to, when they did their harvest, to collect the grapes, and if any were left over, they'd not picked them off the vine, not to go back, to leave them. And the same with olive trees. I don't know if you've seen how olives are harvested off olive trees. They shake them. Give them a good shake. They even have machines now to shake them. They have big machines that go along and shake the tree and all the olives fall off. But some will stay on. And the farmers are instructed, leave those ones. Don't go and pick them off. Leave them on the tree. Those are the ones to be gleaned by the poor, by the traveller, by the homeless. Now, I'm going to need you to help me a bit this morning in the rest of my story, because, I don't know, have you ever stood and looked over a field of wheat or barley when it's tall and there's a bit of a breeze? Yeah? Could I ask you to put your hands up and be barley in a field? I'd like you to be my field of barley. Okay? And then there's a gentle breeze. Can you just... Oh, look at that. You just look like a field of barley. Now, don't forget, you round the edge... You're the margins. You're the ones that are going to be the margin. You're going to be there, the provision for the poor. You're not going to get harvested by the harvesters. So what I'd like you to do is whenever I mention the word field, could you lift your hands up and wave your arms like barley in the field? Could you do that? That's good. You're so good at doing that. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to see that you're provided for. Because we have some gleanings around the edge of our field here on the windowsills. Now, I don't know if there's any young people who would like to help with this as well, but you can see there's some bowls of grapes. They have been washed. If you'd like to help yourself, pass the grapes along your row. Grab a bowl of grapes and pass them along the row. They're on the windowsills. So those are the gleanings for you around the margins of our field here. Here we go. There's a couple of bowls. There's red grapes. There's green grapes. While you're doing that, I'd just like to test that this you've got the idea of this field thing that we're doing. So I'm going to ask you a question. There you go. Oh, you're very good. Why are farmers good at their jobs? Because they're outstanding in their field. Field, come on, field, wave. That's it. Good. So last weekend, Andrea and I were away. We were down in Abergavenny visiting... where Andrea was brought up. And we were staying in a little village outside of Abergavenny called Clodoch. It's a great name, isn't it? And we were travelling back towards Abergavenny from Clodoch along to the next village called Pandy. They've got some great names for villages down there. Clodoch, Pandy, the Mardy. And we even went up for a walk up a hill called the Skirrid. What a great name. And they've got a mountain there called the Blorringe. The Blorringe. But anyway, I digress a little bit, because we were travelling along the road from Clodoch to Pandy, and as we drove along the road, there are all bits of twigs and leaves in the road. And I thought, I wonder why that's all there. It wasn't that stormy last night. We'd had a bit of rain, but it wasn't that stormy. And then as we rounded a corner, there in front of us was a tractor. And we sang about tractors earlier on, didn't we, machines? And there was a tractor there. And I suddenly realised we'd been driving along for half a mile or more along a beautifully trimmed hedge. And this tractor had probably gone along and within half an hour had trimmed this half a mile of hedge. And I said to Andrea, I said, I wonder how long this would have taken in days gone by when they didn't have these fancy machines. How many men and how long? Agriculture was a serious industry and employed a lot of people. Very labour intensive. There would have been many workers in the field. That's it, you're catching on, you're catching on, you're catching on. Now, in our story, we read about Boaz's field. And there would have been many workers in that field, cutting, collecting the grains, collecting the stalks, putting them into sheaves. And what's really interesting, when we hear the story, Boaz, when he walked into the field, he greeted the people. Did he not? You're very good at this. You're very good at this. You'll get a reward later, don't worry. There's a further reward, because it's obviously a lot of work for you. He greeted them. It seemed as if he knew everybody. Morning. And they greeted him back. And he even spotted somebody who he didn't know. And he asked the foreman, who's that girl? Who is that woman? He was interested in the individual. He cared about the individual. He was a man of integrity, a man who cared. In the New Testament, the parables that Jesus tells, the parables about the one, the individual, the prodigal son, the lost sheep, the lost coin. The individual matters. When Jesus healed people, he healed the individual, the blind man, the leper, the paralytic. He healed them as individuals. He met their individual needs. And the way Boaz treated Ruth, he treated her as an individual, not just as one of the workers. Now, when Ruth went to glean for food, it just so happened that it was Boaz's field. Now, she did not know that Boaz was a relative, that he was this kinsman redeemer, or kinsman, what was it, the word you used, was it guardian was the term you used? The kinsman redeemer, someone who was be responsible. But I believe God had led her to that field. The steps of a good man, or woman for that matter, are ordered by the Lord. And when she stepped into that field, she stepped into that field as a stranger. Poor and hungry. She was poor and hungry. And Boaz provided for her. He provided food. He provided protection. And he even had his men provide extra gleanings for her to make sure that she wasn't embarrassed and didn't go away empty-handed. And it would have been really, really hot work. So they even provided shelter and water. Now, around the margins of our field here, there is water. If you're feeling thirsty, there's a bottle, the bottles of water. Help yourself to a bottle of water if you're feeling thirsty. It's hard work. Being in the field, being barley, you need to be watered. I've got a bottle here. I'm going to help myself to some water. Okay. If you want to go and get some water, you can go and get some water. There we go. There you go. It was hard work for those labourers out working in amongst the barley and the sheaves even. Just as Boaz provided for Ruth, and he allowed for others who were gleaning in the field. We're called to provide for those who are disadvantaged, for poor, for the sick, for strangers. Can you just stop for a moment and think, maybe is there a time somewhere in your life when maybe somebody helped you? Perhaps you were in need. Perhaps it was a word. Something that somebody did to help you. How did that make you feel that they helped you? What was their motive for helping you? Was it to show love? How did you feel knowing that you were loved, accepted, cared for? We're called to give of our time, of our resources, our money. The film was from compassion. And there's an opportunity for everybody, if you so wish, and have the means to do so, to sponsor a child. Andrea and I have been sponsoring for some years this young man called Ibrahim, who lives in Ethiopia. He's just turned 16 this year. And sadly, he's fatherless. He has a mum, but his father died. And through the giving, he's able to receive education, medical checks, and he's taught about Jesus as well, which is really good. He gets that good news. And Mark's got some information at the front here. If you would like to know a little bit more about compassion, please do come and take some information away. It's a wonderful way of being able to help an individual, help the one. We have the Oasis Cafe down at Bridge Hall, the drop-in. Many of the customers who come into that are people who are homeless. Many of them have addiction problems. But it's a way they can be blessed. We can share with them the good news of Jesus, but we can also help to meet their physical needs, food and maybe a hot drink. And these guys are, a lot of them are very hungry. They get through a lot of biscuits, don't they? So if you're able to help by donating food or biscuits, there is a box that's always out by the servery or on the servery with a list of the sorts of things that you can donate. So please, if you feel able to, donate regularly biscuits or something of that nature that's on the list, then please do so. Andrea's got, you can always speak to Andrea. She'll give you some guidance if there's anything else that might be appropriate at that particular time. And at the moment, there's a young couple who have been coming along to Oasis who are homeless. And they have asked Andrea, do you have a tent? Do you know anybody who has a tent? Now, I don't know. Maybe there's something that you guys, a two-man tent that you can just help with. I don't know. But if you do, see Andrea after the service or whenever. Now, we've obviously seen that Ruth has benefited from the gleaning rules and laws that there are in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But there are also rules about caring for widows, which is why Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer, would have had, by law, a responsibility, because he was a relative, he was a member of the family. And we read further in the story that actually Boaz takes up that responsibility, and he redeems Ruth and Naomi, and in fact takes Ruth to be his wife. Slightly unusual in that Ruth is a Moabite. She's a non-Jew. And perhaps this is a picture looking forward to Jesus, a picture that redemption isn't just for the Jews. Redemption was for everybody, for non-Jew and Jew alike. When Ruth stepped into Boaz's field, she was the Moabite woman, the outsider, the immigrant, lowly, poor, rejected. When she was redeemed and became Boaz's wife, she stepped into a new identity. She was Boaz's wife, part of the family, accepted, provided for, and protected. Now, Boaz and Ruth, after they were married, they had a son called Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And we know that Jesus was born into the family of David. Jesus is a direct descendant of Boaz and Ruth. They didn't know that that would be the case. God provided through Boaz for Ruth, and in doing so as well, a provision was made for every one of us through Jesus. This picture of redemption that Boaz provided is a picture too for us of Jesus as our Redeemer, that we can be accepted and put right with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. He has compassion for us, and he wishes to meet us as individuals and provide for us. What a wonderful picture of God's provision, of God's blessing for Ruth through Boaz, but a wonderful picture of God's blessing and provision for us through Jesus Christ.